Morning, family. If you are here, say hello. Write your name in the chat. How are you? Where are you calling in from this morning? It is so great to be with you. Amen. Hey, Dada. Good to see you this morning. Good to be with you. Jalen and Mom Pat and Marvin, so great to be with you. It is just awesome to worship together in our Lord. And I'm going to invite Lady Rochelle to come down this morning and lead us in worship through song. But God, we just thank you so, so much. We thank you for this day. There is so much going on in the world, and I am grateful that we have the opportunity to call on his name and enter into his presence. Just so thankful to be here on this morning. So let's enter worship through song. So great to see you, family.
Good morning, all. There is many psalms, actually, that talk about this being the day that the Lord has made and us rejoicing and being glad in it. And so we're just going to start off service, our time together, singing to God, this is the day. Oh, and I left my songbook upstairs, so if I mess up a chord, please forgive me. This is the day.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice.
are rejoicing in him this morning. Hallelujah.
Amen. We are so grateful to be here. And that's how we are choosing to enter into his gates, with thanksgiving and with praise. We are so grateful unto God for who he is. And I have a question for you in the poll this morning. If you're on a smaller screen, you can look towards the bottom and there might be a menu where you can go to poll, or the top left, top right of your screen if you're in a larger screen. The poll question is, how confident are you that God loves you? How confident are you that God loves you? 1, not confident at all, or 5, you're 100% confident that God loves you. So grateful. So grateful. Amen. Now we're going to this time of love assault. Love assault during this time. And this is just an opportunity for us to quickly check in and say hi to our neighbor. It is not meant to be a long conversation, but maybe the seed part of a conversation. There are many things in this world that people say to each other that are not kind, and that wonder whether love exists in the world. Well, this is our opportunity as a family to show love during our love assault. And so if you would, you can go to the networking section, the Speed Fellowship networking section, for a 2-minute conversation. You will click a button that will allow you to share your audio and your video. You have to give the system permission in your browser to do so. If you were on an iPhone, you can use the Safari browser. Other places, try the Chrome browser. And if you need to log out and log back in, or refresh your page, or close down a browser and open it back up, if there are any technical difficulties. But please go and enjoy that time together. And we're going to come back here to the stage at 11:20. So go ahead and enjoy that time saying hi to one another. This is our love assault time. Bless you.
There's a miracle in this room.
Okay, family, are you back? Let us know whether you are back. Put in the chat whether or not you are back. We want to see that you are here. I pray that the time of the Speed Fellowship, the Love of Salt, was just a blessing, not too frustrating, but an opportunity to connect. All right, Mark Henry is here. Good. You're back. You're back. All right. I'm going to go to this time. Ozzy's back. Okay. Good. We're going to go to the Wheel of Names here, and then I'm going to ask Lady Rochelle to come forward and lead us in another song. Debbie is here. Hello. Okay. So now, if you won one of the weeks before in this month, then you won't win again, or you won't receive a prize again. You may win the spin again, but we're going to see if we can spread out the goodness. All right. So these are those who are here. So let's see whose name comes up. Mark Henry. All right. So I don't think you were on the list before. So congratulations. Woohoo. All right. MH. There we go. Okay. Let's see who comes next. All right. Lady Rochelle. All right. So Lady Rochelle gets something. There we go. Okay. All right. Well, we are going to keep at this on other days. Okay. Well, we asked Lady Rochelle to come forward and lead us in song. And she's happy that she won. I don't know if you just heard that, but she's happy. She's happy that she won. Okay.
Mommy.
Yay, congrats, Mark Henry.
You got something like
I guess. I don't know. Hannah's asking me if what I'm getting. I don't know. We'll all find out at the end of service. this week, I am reflecting on gratitude, on contentment, and Hannah actually composed a song this morning, which was awesome, and as she was singing it, and we were singing it together, it made me think of a verse in Philippians chapter 4 that I'll read for us to think about as we sing today. And it's Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And I'm reading it in the King James Version. I usually read in general from the New King James, but I like the way that it is phrased in the King James. And so that's where I'll be reading from this morning. It reads, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." And I don't know about you all, but for me, it is easier, it comes more quickly, to think on and to dwell on the things that are not great. You know, over the past couple of weeks, I found myself constantly checking CNN to see what was happening in the world and in our country. And, you know, even in daily interactions with folks, it is easier, sort of as a default to focus, think on, dwell on the things that are not so great. But as Hannah sang her song this morning, and as I reread the words in this verse, I was just reminded of the importance to make the decision daily, hourly, moment to moment, to think on, to meditate on, to focus on the things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely, of good report, the things that have any virtue and any praise, rather than focusing on the things that are devoid of all of that or the opposite of all of that, which, you know, to be honest, in our world and our culture, often our attention is drawn to the opposite. And so in our time together this morning, we're just going to sing this very simple song, thanking God for who he is and for what he's done. And I invite you at any point during the song, we're going to sing it through a few times, just start making a list. Just start writing down the things that you are grateful for in this moment that God has done, that God is doing, people you're grateful for, opportunities you're grateful for, things you're grateful for. Just start a list and keep it running. I took a little time to do that when we were in between breakfast and service this morning, and look forward to getting back to that and just having that as an ongoing running list of things to think on when tempted to think about so much else. Amen.
You've been so good.
You've been so good. You've been so good. And I just want to thank you, Lord. There's a little part here that says, I just want to take a little time right now and thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. I just want to take a little time right now and thank you, Lord, for something he's done that you've forgotten. Thank you, Lord. Or haven't thanked him for. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to take a little time right now and thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. I just want to take a little time right now and thank you, Lord, for Father God, thank you so much. We praise you for who you are. And sometimes it's easier for me to jump from that praise of who you are to asking for what I want or need in the moment without pausing to thank you for what you've done, for what you've already given, for what I already have, and making use, good use of those things and taking care of those things even before looking for something else or asking for something else. Father, I pray that in this season where the world is thinking more about gratitude, that we, your children, would focus more on just thanking you, not necessarily looking for what will be the next blessing or looking so much for things to be different, but appreciating what it is that you've given, what it is that you are doing, even in this moment, even in times that feel hard or difficult. God, help us to think on the things that are pure and lovely and honest and true and of good report, to look for the virtue, to look for the praiseworthiness, and to offer our thanks, our thanksgiving, our gratitude to you. Please continue to lead us and guide us even as we receive your word this day. Help us to hear and help us to walk in the things that you are leading. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lady Rochelle, for leading us forward in worship through song. Family, once again, it is just so great to be with you. And if you haven't done so already, please go to the poll and take the poll question of how confident are you in God's love for you. It is just a blessing to be with you on this morning. There's a lot going on in the world, and I'm grateful for God's hand upon us and his love for us, and I look forward to his speedy return. And also look forward to us doing in the world what he calls us to do, and being in the world who he has called us to be. For certainly the world could use his love, his light, his joy, his peace, and some of the things that are happening and just the evil running rampant. Certainly, God, we want your kingdom to come and your will to be done. God, we thank you for this time right now of entering into the portion of our worship experience where we can dive into your word and receive a word from you. God, this is not about any of us. It's not about myself. It's not about eloquence of speech. It's not about tickling the ear, dear God. But we want your word to go forward in its power and the fullness of the truth to which you send it to us. God, do all that you purpose to do. Have your will and your way to your glory. God, I pray that we will leave here different, that we will leave here looking more like you. Have your will, have your way. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. If you will, go ahead and say amen. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34, we find these words, 34 through verse 40. Let me see here. But when the Pharisees heard that he, meaning Jesus, had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him in verse 37, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Family, we are in a series, Love People. Next week, I aim for us to talk about loving yourself well. But today, as a precursor, we talk about God's love for you. Say out loud, God's love for me. Go ahead and say, I know you're virtual and in your own environment, but say it, God's love for me. How many of us understand that we cannot give what we do not have? If you agree, type amen. If you disagree, type not sure. Let me hear it. How many of us understand that we cannot give what we do not have? Ask me about something that I have done, that I have lived, that I have rehearsed, that I have reflected upon, and we can talk for days. We can talk in depth. And more than talking, we can develop a roadmap for you to see clearly and progress forward in that particular area. But ask me about cooking. Ask me about making and baking from scratch a sweet potato pie. I can give you advice, but only vaguely. I say to you, above all, make sure that the batter tastes good. The advice is vague. And the more questions that you ask to clarify the recipe, the more clear it becomes that my knowledge and my experience is limited. Orlando, you ask, what is meant by good? You say tastes good. What is meant by good? And my reply is, well, you know, tastes good. That is good to the taste. My reply to you is not helpful. And so too can be the instruction that I read from scripture to us. Matthew 22, verse 39. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, how do I love myself? What does that entail? How does that look? What about loving Orlando translates into loving my neighbor? To get a clearer picture, let's look at God and let's consider how God loves you so well. This is a time where the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15, I'm not going to read it, but I encourage you to review it, where this story teaches me that it is possible for me to be loved well and to not recognize until later or to not recognize at all that I am so well loved. Or perhaps to not know it at all that I am loved well. I can walk through life thinking that I have the short end of the stick. And this presents a problem when how I think turns into how I live. How you live life from a place of acceptance is often different from how life is lived from a place of rejection. Say amen if you know it's true. Say ho to preach if you dispute. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. I don't know if you played this game when you were younger. Some of you may play it now, but the young girls will say, he loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. The guys would get a flower and pick off petals. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. And so when we think of God, he loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. Today, I believe that God wants you to know he loves you. When we talk about love, one of the first things that we will want to recognize is that God is love. 1 John 4:8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is not just the personification of love. God gives love its definition. We can define love for ourselves in coming to know who God is. In scripture, the divine story jumps out for me, and perhaps for you too, when speaking about God's love for humanity and mankind, as recorded in John 3:16. You may be familiar with the scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Elaborating on this love, John writes in 1 John 4:7-11, Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. A couple of realities to grasp in God's love for you. Number one, God loved you first. Say it to yourself, God loved me first. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. We love in response to God's love for us. But God's love is not reactionary. You ever like someone after you find out that they like you? You ever stop liking someone or try to stop liking someone after you find out that they no longer like you? God's love is not reactionary. And this is good news. It means that we cannot manipulate our way into God's love. We can't earn nor purchase God's love. Nor can we, nor anyone else, manipulate our way out of God's love. Stop God from loving us. God loves absent of performance. Sure, God can delight in you or not delight in you, but there is something about God's love for you that is independent of you. Love not based on who you are, but love that is based on who He is. In Deuteronomy, Moses exhorts the Israelites, giving them what God tells him in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 through 8. The Lord did not set His love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people. For you were the least of all the peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because He would keep the oath which He swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Number two, God's love is a demonstrated love. Notice that the author of John 3:16 and the author of 1 John does not say, God loves you, trust me. That is not what the author recorded. In John 4:9-11, in this, the love of God was manifested toward us. Manifest means to reveal or to make clear. To be manifest is to be or to become clearly revealed in the mind, the senses, or judgment. In this, the love of God was clearly revealed to us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And so notice the goal of His love, that we might live. It reminds me of John 10:10. The thief doesn't come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, or have it to the full. And the author becomes more explicit in verse 10. He says, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation, it talks about what it means to appease wrath and to gain the goodwill of an offended person. And so if we think about it in the context of Jesus Christ, propitiation is the satisfaction of the righteous demands of God in relation to human sin and its punishment through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ upon the cross. And it's by this process that the penalty of sin is canceled and the anger of God is averted. So he says, in this love, now, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And 1 John 4:11 says, beloved, that God so loved us. The author is so confident in his example. He says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. What is so remarkable about God's love for you? God has capacity. God's love is a capable love. God's love is capable of deep sacrifice. 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Romans 5:6-8, Paul says, for when we were still without strength, when we had no divine ability, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. and from Jesus Christ. In Revelations 1:5, the latter part, it says, to him who loved us and washed us from our own sins in his own blood. We serve a capable God, and God is capable of loving us deeply. God is also in his love. He can see you through to the other side. Say, God can see me through to the other side. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, not just the person who starts off our faith, but he is the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And Jesus told his disciples in John 14, verses 1 through 3, but looking at verse 2, he said, in my Father's house there are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And in John 1:5, he said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Number three, in his love, God thinks about you. God thinks about you. Say to yourself, God thinks about me. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 139, verses 15 through 18, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. You saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts of me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they will be more in number than the sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. When you go to sleep, you are on God's mind. And when you are awake, when you awaken in the morning, you are still on God's mind. Number four, God's love can think ahead into your future. The prophet Jeremiah gives the Jewish people in exile a message from God in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know they were in a terrible situation. He says, give them this message, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Not only does God think into your future, but God can keep track of the details of your life. In Luke 12:7, Jesus tells the disciples, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. And number five, God's love actively works with you to see this future manifest. This is why God's love for you is so remarkable. Philippians 1:6, be in confidence of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God's word not only authors your beginning and not only is there when you finish and not only thinks about you in between, but God partners with you in the steps in between where you start and where you end to bring you to the fulfillment of his future vision for you. And so what is God's love? We find these words from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What does it mean that God loves the world? It means that God loves you, but not just you. I remember taking this quick power nap as a young adult. And I believe I was in college taking this quick power nap. And I was walking up this stairway and I was on my way to heaven to see God. I guess I was just strolling up there. And I remember when I got towards the top of the staircase, there was Jesus walking down past me. And I was looking. I'm like, I'm coming to see you. And what I heard was, I'm interested in more than just you. And it was in that moment that God let me know that, you know, Orlando, I care a lot about who you are and what you're doing and your love for me. But I also have lost future brothers and sisters in Christ and those who don't yet know me or those who are cutting up and need to be better. And while you dismiss them, Orlando, I'm interested in them and I want them to be with me and all of my children to be with me. And so God let me know clearly, Orlando, I love you and I came to save you, but not just you. I came to save you and also the world, those you know and those you do not know. God wants a relationship with all of his creation, and he sent Jesus to be that pathway, Ephesians 2, 17 through 18. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near, to those who were of the Jewish people and had more of a relationship with God, and to those who were the Gentiles and had not yet met God or didn't know him in the same way that the Jews knew him. And he came and he preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. And John 14, 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And this is good news. Unlike the human capacity for love that we see personal limits, God is not limited in the ways that you and I may experience limitations. But God's love has a capacity for all of humanity. Romans 10, 12 through 13, Paul says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. God does not have a deficit. God does not run into a tight budget when it comes to his love for the world. But God is rich to all who call upon him. Verse 13, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the part that is most important is that whoever calls on the name of the Lord, it's the same for you, and it's the same for your neighbor, and it's the same for the people you don't know, and it's the same for the people we know and have given up on. That if they call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. You are not too much for God. Your neighbor is not too much for God. 2 Peter 3, 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, where people were saying, well, God, you haven't returned yet, so you must not be as righteous of a God interested in judgment. But it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And John 3, 1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. God loves us enough to bring us into his family as children. We're not isolated. We're not grandchildren, but we are children. We are siblings. We are children with Jesus Christ. We are joint heirs with Christ in our relationship with God. And so what is God's desire for you today? Paul captures it here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. And I invite Lady Rochelle to come forward and lead us in song. We've come this far by faith. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. I don't know if you ever have seen something take root into the ground or something to establish a permanence in its place. And God is calling for us to be rooted and grounded in love, that no matter what happens to us, no matter the winds of life that blow against us, we are secure because we are rooted and grounded in love. Love that is not circumstantial, love that is not performance-based, but in an agape love, a love that is unmerited and undeserving, but is nonetheless the love that God offers us, that we can be rooted and grounded in love. And it says to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Love that cannot, that is beyond articulation. I think about our daughter, Hannah. There are some things that she knows without a shadow of doubt because her behaviors bear out those truths, but she cannot yet articulate those things. Let it be so for us that we know God's love so much that we become speechless and don't have the vocabulary to describe what that love is. When people were talking about the translation of the Bible from Hebrew and Greek into English, there are some words that are in the other languages that it takes multiple words to try to put it into the English language. And even then, our language falls short to be able to convey God's love. But so that is our opportunity today. And we start off with this song, "We've Come This Far by Faith," recognizing that it's God's love who has brought us this far. It's God's love who leads us forward. Not that we have come to him, not that we have given him our vision for our lives, but God thinks ahead about you and he knows where he wants to take you and he brings you this far by faith. Amen. God, we thank you so much for your hand upon us. We thank you for loving us and for loving us first. God, we thank you for leading by example, for loving by example. And I, God, I pray that it is not just head knowledge that we have, but that it sinks down into our spirit. Or the scripture is confirmed by your Holy Spirit, confirming within us that we are secure in your love, that you love us. That you love us, you are thinking about us, and you have good thoughts toward us. Sometimes you are not happy with us because of the things that we do, and there are certain characteristics like pride that are detestable, dear God. But we thank you that your love for us is based on who you are and not based on who we are. God, I pray that you would be with your son and your daughter today. I pray that you will be with your son and your daughter throughout the rest of this week, that they may know without a shadow of doubt, that they may know with full confidence your love for them. God, we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints, we thank you so much. I see in the poll, if you haven't filled out the poll yet, go ahead and fill out the poll about love. And I see generally most of us have confidence that God loves us. And I've noticed in my own life that sometimes that confidence is strongest when things are going well. But when things are not going well, and I seek to try to interpret what is going on, I have to remind myself that indeed God does love me. It is so wonderful to be with you all who are here. Richard, it's just so great to be with you. So, the prize. The prize. I don't know what it's going to be yet, but it's going to be a good one. And it's going to be educational. And it is going to be based off of what we spoke about today. God's love for you. Family, I love you. I love you. And I pray that you would go forward in God's peace for you today. Say goodbye to each other. Make time to connect and say hi to each other, and I'll hang out for just a few minutes in the hospitality room for anyone who wants to stop by there. God bless you, family.